Have you ever been rejected? Dory was her name. She had never known the love of her mother. Day after day, she looked after her younger sister, hoping that her mother would recognize her and show her some affection. Yet even though her mother would cuddle her sister, tuck her into bed, and kiss her goodnight, she brushed off all Dory's attempts to win her mother's love. One day, Dory and her sister were taken to an orphanage. Their mother visited them only twice in 7 years. Eventually, Dory and her sister were placed in a foster home where they were beaten and fed scraps of food. From this couple, Dory and her sister learned that their mother was a waitress. So one day, they left home and set out to find their mother. They went in their small town from cafe to cafe, and finally, in the evening, they found their mother, only to be rudely rejected once again. By the time Dory was 18 years old, she had been in many foster homes and had been so badly beaten that her back was sometimes a mass of welts and cuts, and she had been abused. She had never heard anyone say to her, "I love you." Never. Have you ever been rejected? Anne had been married for 20 years and had spent her life raising the 8 children that God had given to her and her husband. She was deeply religious and saw that all the children every Sunday were in Sunday school and church. Her husband was king of her life. He could do no wrong. Though she had been aware of some cooling in the ardor in their relationship, she was unprepared when he came home one day and said he was filing for divorce and was preparing to marry his secretary. She felt so consumed, so rejected, devastated by the one that she loved so much. Have you ever been rejected? Jim had been a highly successful businessman until his mid-40s. As vice president in charge of marketing, he exuded confidence. Then his company was merged with a larger company. In the merger, he was forced out, rejected. 2 years later, he was still floundering, convinced he was doomed to failure. Repeated rejection in his attempts to find a new position robbed him of his self-confidence, and he was depressed. Have you ever been rejected? I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to open them up to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. You remember, I hope, several Sundays ago, it seems like a long time ago, but we began a series on the life of Joseph. the life of Joseph. And in Joseph, in this man Joseph's life pilgrimage, in his journey, he underwent a number of tests, difficult trials. In his pilgrimage, in his journey from pit to pinnacle. I mean, from being in the very lowest place to rising to prime minister of the greatest country of that day, the most powerful country, Egypt, Joseph went through some severe trials. Someone has said the road to greatness, is always marked by the tests of God. Just think about that. The road to greatness is always marked by the tests of God. And this man, Joseph, went through five major tests and rising from the pit to the pinnacle. And I think we're going to look at these tests, Lord willing, if he gives us grace and he tarries. Over the next couple Sundays, we're going to look at these tests. And you know what? These tests are tests that many of us go through in life to some degree, And these tests hit Joseph. And I kind of picture it like the waves, the stormy waves on a beach that just keep on relentlessly coming in and hitting you. Joseph went through some real testing in his life. And as we go through and look at these tests, these five tests, and see how God worked in Joseph's life, I think it's going to show us some lessons of how we can endure these tests when they come to us in life. Well, the first test that Joseph went through, as recorded in Scripture, was the test of rejection. And this morning, I want to consider with you four questions about the test of rejection. The first one is this: what were the causes of rejection? In chapter 37, first of all, he put forth a bad report concerning his brothers. Look at verse 2. It says, "These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to his father." Joseph is a teenager, 17 years old. Joseph is out pasturing the flock with his brothers, along with the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah, his father's wives. You remember Jacob had four wives. Not smart. Don't get four wives. One's enough. Amen? Amen. He had Leah. Then he married Rachel. Then he married their handmaids, Zilpah and Bilhah. And it was their sons that he was out and he was pasturing the flock with. And as they were looking after the flock, I take it from the text that you know what they were doing? They were goofing off. Now, what were they doing? Well, they were playing video games or handheld computer games. Or maybe they were listening to tunes on their iPods. Or maybe they were, what else could they be doing? Maybe they were texting people on their cell phones or whatever they used to do to goof off. I'm not sure what they did, but they were goofing off. They weren't watching the flock. Just like those two airplane pilots. Did you read about that or hear about the guys that were in? Doesn't this give you confidence in flying? You know, they're in the cockpit. They're supposed to be what? Watching. And what would they said that they were checking their schedules laptop computers, and they missed their destination. How far did they go? 150 miles or 200 miles past their destination? They were goofing off. Sleeping? Doesn't that give you confidence? Well, these guys were goofing off. And Joseph was there. And you know, parents, things haven't changed. He goes back and does what does he do? Tells his dad. They're goofing off. And they didn't like it too much. They got mad. They got angry with their brother Joseph. Can you hear him? Tattletale. Tattletale! And they didn't like it. That was beginning of rejection. But there was another reason why Joseph was rejected. It's found down in verses 3 and 4. His father played favorites. His father played favorites. Parental partiality. You see it there? Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. Now I think there's another reason why he loved Joseph. Not only was he the son of his old age, but he was the son of his favorite wife. Who was that? Rachel. He was the son of Rachel. And you remember Rachel couldn't have kids for a long time, and finally she had Joseph. And Jacob loved him more than all the rest. You know what? You would think, why don't we learn as people? You'd think he'd have learned his lesson growing up in a family that played favorites. Remember? Isaac and Rebekah played favorites, didn't they? Isaac loved who? Class? Esau. And Rebekah loved who? Jacob. And you'd have thought Jacob would have learned. What'd that cause? A lot of problems between him and his brother. You'd think he'd learn. You'd think we'd learn. Parents, don't play favorites. Love your kids, each one. Don't love one. You know, some of them are easier to love. Amen? Oh, yeah. But you got to love them all. But he didn't learn. The sins of the father were passed on to his son. And he loved Joseph more than all the rest. And that really hurt his brothers. And he showed how much he loved him by doing what? Look at verse 3 again. He made him a what? A multicolored or varicolored tunic. He made him this beautiful tunic, this garment. It was a full-length robe with sleeves. It was a mark of favor. It was the kind of garment that was worn by the upper class. This was a royal robe. But I'll tell you what, did it tick off his brothers? Every time they looked at that multicolored robe, when they saw that red, they saw red. When they saw that green, they were green with envy. When they saw that blue, they got blue. I'm going to tell you, this robe, it was a sign that their father loved Joseph more than them. And that hurt them. And what'd they do? They rejected Joseph. That wasn't Joseph's fault. Parents, that's not your kid's fault. That was the parents' fault, and yet he got rejected by his brothers. You see what it says down in verse 4? His brothers saw their father love. They saw it because they saw that robe. They saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him. They hated him. They could not speak to him on friendly terms. Everything they said to him was against him because of parental partiality. There was another reason Joseph got rejected. He had some dreams, prophetic dreams, listed in verses 5 through 11. The first one's recorded in verses 5 through 8. And what he dreamt, He and his brothers were binding sheaves. You know, you've seen them out there, the sheaves. Some people decorate their house with a sheave. And they were binding these sheaves, and the brother's sheaves, his sheave rose up, stood erect, and behold, the brother's sheaves came and bowed down to his sheave. Now, he told his brothers. He's acting more like a prophet than a politician. He never took Andrew Carnegie's course on how to win friends and influence people. Let me tell you my dream. And he told him his dream. They didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. He told his brothers, and look at verse 8, their response. His brothers said, are you actually going to reign over us? Remember, he's the little kid brother. You're going to reign. Are you really, really going to rule over us? So they what? Hated him even more. Because he told him the dream. Then he had another dream, which is recorded down in verses 9 through 11. In this dream, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to him. And he goes and tells his father. And he tells his brothers. And this time, his father rebukes him. Jacob rebukes him. He says, what is this dream that you've had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow down before you to the ground? What are you saying, son? And in verse 11, the brother's response, his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the saying in mind. I'll tell you what, these dreams got under their skin, folks. I mean, all that they could think of is, man, this guy, who is he? Who does he think? He's having delusions of grandeur. He thinks he's something. I'll never bow down to him. The causes. Bad report. Parental partiality. Prophetic dreams. They rejected Joseph. They rejected him. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Now, why did this hurt so much? What made this rejection so painful? I'm going to tell you why this was a painful experience for Joseph. What made this rejection so painful was the fact that he was rejected by his own brothers. Members of his own family were the ones who hated him and rejected him. Listen, folks, those whom we love and have the closest relationships with have the greatest potential to hurt us. Dory being rejected by her mom. Anne being rejected by her own husband. Parents being rejected by their children. Children being rejected by their parents. A spouse rejecting a mate. A brother or sister in the same church who rejects us. That hurts. Why does that hurt so much? You know what? I'll tell you why that hurts so much. Because if I meet you and you don't know me and you reject me, so what? But if I open myself up to you, I open my guts up to you, and you really get to know me, and then you say, I don't want you. I hate you. I'll tell you what, that's a knife right in the heart. That's a knife in the heart. And that's what it was to Joseph. It was a knife in the heart. You see, the closest ones to us have the greatest potential to love us, support us, encourage us, and also the greatest potential to hurt us. Whitney Pratney, in a little pamphlet he put out entitled Hurt and Bitterness, talked about a little girl. He wrote this. One 8-year-old girl wrote me a letter. She said, can you help me? My father carries a picture around of my younger brother, who is 4, and he looks like Daddy. He also carries a picture of my older sister, who is 15. She's pretty. My dad doesn't carry my picture around at all. I gave him a picture of me. I cut it, made sure it would fit in his wallet, but he put it in a drawer. Is there any way I can get my daddy to carry my picture? Can you feel the rejection that that little girl feels? Can you sense the hurt, the pain? Her daddy wouldn't carry her picture. You know what happens many times with little girls like that? When they get to be teens, they go seeking love in all the wrong places. David, the psalmist, wrote about being rejected. Listen to what he wrote in Psalm 55, 12 and 13. He said, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has magnified himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked to the house of God together in the throng." Do you see what David's saying? He's saying, you know what? If somebody out there rejects me, so what? I could bear that. But when somebody's my friend, when somebody I'm close to, a family member, when they reject me, he said, that's just hard to take. It was a church member, he's saying. Somebody I went to church with. We walked together. We were buddies. It was you. And he says, man, that hurt. What made this rejection so painful, his brothers rejected him, family members. Some of you have gone through that. I know, I've talked to you. Some of you may be going through that now. I heard a story this last week, and I won't give details. There's somebody outside the church, by the way, but they had an operation. They have nobody to take care of them. Sad thing is, their daughter lives in the area, but she'll have nothing to do with her mother. That hurts. That's rejection. That's a test. Now, question number 3. What were the results of this rejection? What were the results? Number 1, it caused hard feelings and division within the family. Verse 12, his brothers go out to pasture the sheep again, go out to pasture their father's flock, but they don't take Joseph. They didn't want him to go. They couldn't stomach seeing him in that multicolored tunic. They hated him. They wanted nothing to do with him. So they went 40 miles away to Shechem. You remember from your reading in Genesis that Shechem, they weren't very popular in Shechem. That was the place where, you remember, Dinah, their sister, was raped. And they went in and killed all the men in Shechem. And they weren't very well liked there, but they would rather be there, 40 miles away from Joseph, than to be closer to him. Then they leave there and go 20 miles north up to Dothan. They want to get away. It brought division within the family. And they could not stomach being around him. In verse 14, Jacob sends Joseph to check out on their welfare of his brothers. And Joseph finds out in verses 16 and 17 that they go to Dothan. This caused just a family rift. It caused hard feelings, but it caused division in the family. Division in the family. A second thing it caused hostility in the family. Look at verse 18. Look at your Bibles. Anger, if it's not dealt with properly, turns into hatred. Hatred turns and smolters into bitterness. Bitterness turns into wrath and malice. And verse 18 says, when they saw him, Joseph comes out to look to the welfare of his brothers. When they saw him coming from a distance, and before he could come close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, here comes the what? The dreamer. See, these dreams got under their skin. They start going, he's the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Now then, come, let us kill him. Throw him into one of the pits. You know, the name Dothan means the two wells. And they were going to throw him into one of these wells. Let's throw him into the pit. And we'll say a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what has become of his dreams. The dreamer. Violence. Hostility. Now Reuben realizes this is not a right thing to do, and he wants to rescue him, so he convinces his brother to throw him down into one of the wells. It says in the text that there was no water in it. This was dry right now. So they throw him down into one of the wells at Dothan. They strip him of his tunic. Throw him in the pit. Judah eventually gets the bright idea. You know what? Let's, you know, rather than kill him, let's make some money out of this deal. And there's Ishmaelite traders come down. He says, let's sell him as a slave. That's what they did. You imagine that? Selling one of the members of your family into slavery. They take him down to Egypt, and he's sold as a slave. Now, I'll tell you what, folks, that's hatred and hostility. That's what rejection causes, a hatred and hostility. And you know what else it does? It causes a lot of heartbreak, doesn't it? It breaks your heart. If you look down at verses 31 through 35, then they go home and they deceive their dad into thinking that their son's dead. Dad, we found this tunic. We found this robe out in the wilderness. They dipped it in goat's blood, his multicolored robe. We found this robe. Does this look familiar? Is it? Oh my, it's Joseph's. It's my son's. Oh my. Never thought, never would in a million years think that his brothers would do something like they did. A wild animal must have got him, torn him to shreds, my son. And it broke his heart. It broke his heart. Verse 35, look at verse 35. Then all his sons, he tears his clothes, he tears his robe, and he mourns. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, surely I'll go down to Sheol, I'll go down to my grave in mourning for my son. And he wept and he wept and he wept until no more tears. He didn't have any more tears. I'll tell you what rejection causes. Division. Hostility. And heartbreak. And you know, many of you have gone through it. There are people in this church right now. You have people in your family that have rejected you. You have people maybe in the church that have rejected you. You have people out there that have rejected you. And I'll tell you what, it hurts. So we come to the last question. How are we to respond to rejection? How is the Christian to respond? What should be our response to rejection? How do you handle this? How do you handle the hurt? You know, the text here in Genesis 37 doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us how Joseph responded. But I think he responded in the right way. Because the next time we see him, over in chapter 39, he's over in Potiphar's house. He's doing okay. God is with him. And Joseph did not give up. He didn't give in or give up or just get depressed and say, I'm done with God. He didn't do that. So I think he responded in the right way. And although this text doesn't tell us how to respond, the Bible does tell us how to respond to rejection. So if you put these down, there's four things I think we need to do when we feel rejected. Number one, take your hurt to Jesus. Take your hurt to Jesus. Because he understands. Folks, there is nobody in this world that has been rejected like Jesus. No one. He was rejected and despised by men. The Son of God in flesh. He came to his own rejected him. His friends that he grew up with rejected him. All the religious leaders rejected him. His own brothers rejected him. A vast majority of his followers rejected him. Even the 12 in the garden fled and left him. Peter denied him thrice. Judas rejected him with a kiss. The Jews rejected him and delivered him up to the Romans. The Romans rejected him and nailed him to a cross. And on the cross, God the Father turned his back on his Son. There's no one that has experienced rejection like our Savior, like what he did. And he understands. And we need to, you know what, folks, we need when we feel rejected, we need to take our rejection to Jesus. He is a faithful high priest who knows what we're going through, and we need to cast our cares on him. Lord, I feel rejected. My sons rejected me, Lord. God, my parents have rejected me. Lord, my mate has rejected me. Lord, my friend, my brother, who I minister to and I love, left the church. I feel hurt, Lord. I cast my care on you. You understand. Give your hurt to Jesus, number one. Number two, this is really big, folks. Resist the temptation to pull back from relationships. Did you get that one? Resist the temptation to pull back from relationships. When we get hurt, we have a tendency to pull back. Go within. I don't want to get close, so I build walls. I build walls. And I've seen this happen so many times. I've seen people withdraw, build those emotional walls, shut their feelings down. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I can't feel anymore. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? I can't feel anymore. And they remain quite safe in their world of loneliness and pain. But what a miserable existence that is. I remember a couple that came to this church years ago. And I noticed they weren't coming to fellowships. They weren't coming to church fellowships. They were there Sunday mornings, and I went to their house and I said, I want to invite you. Come to the fellowships. Come get to know some people. And they said, we don't want to know people. I'll never forget sitting in their kitchen. I said, what? They said, we don't want to know people. I said, well, that's strange. Why wouldn't you want to know the people that you're worshiping with? Why wouldn't you want to know the people, your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? You come to church here. They said, we've been in three churches, and we developed relationships in those churches, and every one of those churches split, and we lost all our friends. And I thought, you know what? How sad. I mean, I understand that. I mean, I understand the hurt. But how sad an existence that is. Yes, you won't get hurt anymore, but you will miss out on the privilege of knowing people and loving people. And you know, better to have loved and lost than what? Never loved at all. And I think that's true. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, you know what? You don't pull back from relationships. The truth is, the greatest hurt comes from intimate relationships, but also the greatest joy. So praise God, when Jesus was rejected, he didn't pull back on relationships, did he? He didn't. And even though people reject him today, and even though sometimes with our words or with our actions we reject him, Jesus doesn't say, okay, I'm not having a relationship with you guys. He still's there. He loves. Does it hurt him? It hurts him. It hurts him. But he loves people. Don't pull back. Resist that temptation. There'll be a temptation when you get hurt to say, I'm not gonna get close anymore. Don't do that. Because you will be the loser. You'll be the loser. 3, pray for those who reject you. Pray for those who reject you. Again, the greatest example is who? Jesus. What did he do on the cross? Here he is, hanging there between heaven and earth, rejected by both. And what does he pray? He doesn't pray, get me out of here, or, oh, poor me. Father, forgive these guys. They don't realize what they're doing. He prayed for those who rejected him. You say, Pastor, I understand that. I really understand that, but that's Jesus. That's not me. I mean, he was the God-man. I'm just flesh. Well, what about Job? Do you remember Job and his friends? Yeah, friends. His friends hurt him. His friends wounded him time and time and time again. And yet it says in the last chapter of Job, Job prayed for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, what happened? Everything was restored. He prayed for them. And you know what? You need to pray for the one who rejects you. The brother who rejects you, the sister who rejects you, the son, the parent. Pray for them. Another one I think of, Stephen. Here's Stephen. He's preaching the word of God. And they said, okay, you know, I'm going to stone you. And they start throwing stones at him. And what did he do? Looked up to heaven. And he said, Jesus. And there Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus, don't hold this against him. Forgive him, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. He prayed for him. I'll tell you what, there's two human examples, and I know it is tough. It's tough because it hurts so much. But I'll tell you what, the healing of the hurt comes, you know, you're restored when? When you pray for the one who hurts you. And then lastly, first of all, you want to take your hurt to Jesus. Second of all, you want to resist the temptation to pull back from relationship. Third of all, pray for those who reject you. And fourth, place your hope in God and don't give up. Amen. Place your hope in the Lord and don't give up. Joseph could not see what was happening. We have the tremendous privilege to see this story of Joseph from heaven's point of view. What a difference! I mean, what a difference if you're living through something and you don't see it, and it's hard and it hurts. But we see this story from heaven's point of view. God was in control. God had a purpose in this suffering. Mm-hmm. God was going to bring about a great deliverance through the tests of his servant and take Joseph from the pit to the pinnacle. See, we can see it. I'll tell you what, in your suffering, in your rejection, God has a plan. I'm not saying he causes it. I'm not saying he was happy with Joseph's brothers. I don't think he was. In fact, I know he wasn't. But he can use it for his glory. Joseph didn't get bitter. He got better. Because he looked to the God of hope and didn't give up. You remember the story I told you at the beginning of the message, Dory. This story goes on. One day a group of college students visited the orphanage where Dory was and shared with her about one person that loved her. You remember she had never heard the words, "I love you." And this group of college students came to that orphanage and shared with her that Jesus Christ, God's Son, loved her. Not only loved her, but loved her enough to die for her on the cross. Dory was so overwhelmed that somebody loved her. She accepted Christ. And that love from God came down in her life, and for the first time she felt loved. And that love began to change her life. She later married a Christian man, Dory Van Stone. Maybe some of you have heard of her. And they went as missionaries to Papua New Guinea and ministered to the Dani tribe in Papua New Guinea, where God used her testimony. The girl that nobody loved, to lead thousands of Dani's to Christ. I had the privilege of hearing her. Linda and I heard her 27 years ago give her testimony of how God changed her life, how she had never knew love, but now she felt the love of God. If you feel rejected, take your hurt to Jesus. Don't pull back. You'll build that wall and you'll be safe, but you'll be lonely and in pain. Come and pray. Would you pray today for the one who's rejected you? And put your hope in God, and don't give up. Let's bow in prayer.